This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. We're glad you're joining us this morning or this afternoon, depending on when you're listening. You can listen to us every week, 9 a.m. on Saturdays and 12 noon on Sundays. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy from the chapel as we host Christ Together Radio every week. And we'd love for you to join us. And if you can't join us quite every week, or if you want to catch up on past episodes, go to WDCXradio.com, click on Programs, and click Christ Together Radio. There you can get a hold of us. You can check out who we are, and you can also send us an email or just let us know a topic that you might have for us. As you listen to the show, some ideas might spark. Or go ahead and listen to some past programs that we've done. I think there's 44, 45 of them on there that you can catch up and kind of see the nature of what Christ Together Radio is all about. We're here to tell you about what God's doing in Western New York and Toronto as much as we can, and also around the country, around North America, and around the nation, or around the world, actually, just to see how God is moving. And kind of the thematic undertone that's developed without the show is the understanding that God is moving. He is working in the hearts and lives of people, and we want to get underneath where he's moving and figure out what he wants, would have us to do. So, Ryan, another week begins.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I'm excited this week. Got a good friend of mine in town, and so I thought, hey, this would be good to interview Dan Crane, who's going to be joining us this morning. One of the things that I really like about the show and Christ Together Radio is, and we really try to distribute these as we feel led to do so. So we do a lot of stuff about local partnership, local movement of God, and that's stuff that I absolutely love. But it's also good from time to time to pull back and say, well, what is God doing throughout a region? What is God doing throughout our country? And so today we're going to have a conversation with a minister of the gospel in South Atlanta, and we're going to learn a little bit more about just kind of what God has been walking Dan through and what he's been experiencing in doing the work of the ministry. And I look forward to helping people in Western New York and the greater Toronto area hear a little bit more about this ministry, because who knows, like, if God is moving in your heart around this subject matter, then one of the things that we really desire to see is that you could tangibly begin to access information and access content. And who knows, God may be speaking to you today to join him on his mission with something related to, like, what we're going to talk about today with Dan Crane.
Yeah, Dan being from, I call it Hotlanta.
Hotlanta.
It's very hot.
Yeah.
The South, dirty South.
Is South Hotlanta hotter than North Hotlanta?
It's about the same.
Okay. A degree
it's
or two.
It's all this smog of just heat and traffic.
Nastiness. And traffic. And, yeah.
That's. Yes. It's very hot.
Well, welcome to Buffalo.
Thank you. Yeah. It's an honor to be here.
Join us in February and you'll love Hotlanta.
Yes.
Dan, great to have you here in the WDCX talk studio, the newly remodeled WDCX talk studio.
Looking good.
And looking real sharp, and a couple little things I want finished, but we've gone over that before.
Yeah.
That's just part of my OCD. So we'll move on from that. Dan Crane from Dignity serves as our guest today, and we're looking forward to talking with him more and just here in a few minutes and kind of getting into what he's doing in Atlanta, just with urban ministry and also a program called Dignified Interdependence.
Dignity Serves.
Dignity yeah. Serves. It involves Dignified Interdependence, but really some cool concepts just in briefing on the show. I'm very interested to find out what's ahead. So, yeah. Ryan, I think this is going to be a good episode.
Yeah, I think so too. One of the things that just kind of gave me pause and said, mm-hmm. I think it'd be good to hear what Dan has to say and just unpack the ministry that God has him participating in, because, you know, God has been doing some stuff in our region. He has been advancing partnerships and relationships in our region to where, you know, and I know we still have a lot of work that needs to be done. So I think it's always important to emphasize we haven't arrived. But I know this. God has begun to help men and women that represent the Church of Western New York come together in ways that we haven't always seen across context, urban, suburban, rural, across race, across class. And as I listened a little bit more to what Dan was participating in, I just thought to myself, Lord, if you're advancing relationships in our region so that we can see every man, woman, and child have repeated opportunities to hear, see, and respond to the gospel, I feel like this content is probably going to be a meaningful part of how we walk better in relationship with one another so that we can show those who have yet to follow Jesus the power of the gospel. And I think that's an important part of this conversation.
So you're going to want to stick around. We're going to be back in just a few minutes as we go to a break, just here in a minute or so on Christ Together Radio. But stick around. Our breaks are real short, so don't leave us. Stay tuned to WDCX and Christ Together Radio, and you'll get to hear from Dan Crane, who hails from Bumpville, PA.
Yes.
Yeah, baby.
That's cool. Hey, we have a guy in staff here. He's from Bucksnort, Tennessee.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. We should have like a Indian wrestling or an arm wrestling thing from Bumpville to Bucksnort. That'll sell right there.
Oh, that's hysterical. From Bumpville.
We could wrestle a cow or something.
Yeah, I mean, you never know.
That's what we can do it during the break. Just do wrestle a calf to the
It ground. Is cool when you grow up in those places, because if you ever make it famous, like a wrestler or something, yeah. All the way from Bumpville, PA. It's like, what? Is that even a thing? I don't know. All right. Well, we're going to hear from Bumpville, PA, from Dan Crane. We moved all the way to the metropolis of Atlanta, which is a little bit of an adjustment there, I'm sure, from the old cow-poking days in Bumpville. So we'll be back in just a minute here on Christ Together Radio.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on His mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside co-host Ryan Cozy. We host Christ Together Radio every week. Don't miss it, 9 a.m. on Saturdays and noon on Sundays. We'd love to have you join with us. You can always email us if you go online to WDCX Radio, click on Programs, and click on Christ Together Radio. You can email us right from there. Or just email us direct at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Let us know what you think. Just be nice, okay?
It's always helpful.
Ryan's very sensitive, so be nice.
I've been told.
No, we'd love to know if the program's blessed you or helped you along in your journey. Joining us today is Dan Crane, joining us from all the way from Atlanta, Hotlanta, and but doing some wonderful ministry there, and with Dignity Serves, and we're going to dig into that. But I think Ryan, we talked earlier. We want to kind of get into his backstory.
Right? Yeah, I mean, one of the things I really love about how we set the shows up, like just. Tell us your story. Help us understand. I think one of the things that, to me, is fascinating is how does a kid from Bumpville, Pennsylvania, growing up on a dairy farm in the middle of nowhere, God gives you a heart for urban and what that looks like. And so just tell us your story. Like, how did you growing up, what was that like? And then how did God arrest your attention for the work that He's called you to today?
I grew up in Bumpville, PA. And I grew up in a family of five boys on a farm, and I was definitely the laziest brother, and was not a really good farm boy. As you will picture farm boys being up at 6 a.m. out and working, that was not me. Very lazy, and played a lot of basketball and a lot of soccer, excelled in that in sports, and did terrible in school, barely graduated high school. And after I graduated high school, really I had no idea what I was going to do. And actually got accepted to Liberty a month before the start date. So in early July, I received this acceptance letter from Liberty. I'm like, all right, great. And got accepted on academic probation. And I was only allowed to take four classes, 12 hours. And so I went and drove 7.5 hours with my parents. And they dropped me off. And my dad bawled. And I I remember right in front of the Vine Center.
Yeah.
Right? I remember saying goodbye to them, and I turned around and said, all right, God, well, here we go.
Yeah.
And, I realized that if I actually applied myself academically, I could actually do okay. And my sophomore year, I was dating a girl, and she dumped me badly, and it really broke me. And that was when God first began to kind of reveal a thing that I talk a lot about now with churches, about my underbelly and what was happening underneath my heart, and a thing called codependency. And just revealing that a lot of my hope and confidence I'd put in this girl, and God took that away. And in his place, he put himself, and actually was introduced to the Experiencing God workbook, right, by Black Being King, and just really began to understand what an intimacy with Christ really meant. And from there, had a heart for ministry. That's where I got involved with Vision and became a team leader there. Ended up as a biblical studies degree major. Got invited to intern at First Baptist Woodstock down in Atlanta, Georgia, a majority white megachurch. And there, I think that's when I first began to see what the city was about. We went down every Thursday and would serve the homeless with a ministry called Church on the Street, who I actually work for now, which is called Remerge. We rebranded ourselves last year. Mm-hmm. But that was 18 years before I actually started working for them. So God always is orchestrating things in his favor. And so I interned at Woodstock twice in the youth department and ended up as a youth pastor in Orlando, Florida, going down to revitalize a church. I was there for 2.5 years, and I loved it. I loved being a youth pastor. We took a youth group from 15 and grew it to about 80 in about a year and a half. And, of course, at Liberty, right? That's right. What you worshiped. You know, how many times at convocation do we have a guy come in and preach? Well, I took a church from 50 and grew it to 5,000. Yeah. Like,
that was those days, those 90s. Were
you were worshiped, right? Yeah, like, you worship numbers and you worship success, except that's not what happened to me. The numbers grew. But the problem was that it was a part of a church that was really political, and I burned out badly. And there was a few guys that controlled the church, and in February of 2004, the pastor that I went down with, Tim Vaughn, who's a pastor in Greenville now, three pastors on one Sunday, we resigned. And so I was 26, and the bylaws stated that the pastors read their resignation letters from the pulpit. And so Tim read his, read the worship pastors, and then read mine. And so I'm 26 years old, biblical studies degree from Liberty, just experienced my first burnout in ministry, and nobody at Liberty gave me language for burnout, right? Nobody at Liberty talked to me about what's going to happen when you face depression, right? And so 2004 and subsequent years, I faced a lot of depression, a lot of discouragement, a lot of what has happened in my life. And by the grace of God, I had just started dating my wonderful wife, Adrienne, and we got married in 04. And in 2005, made the next logical step. My wife grew up in Orlando, Florida. She is a Floridian. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one summer, she went the whole summer without AC in her car, right? It broke. She didn't want to fix
it. In Florida.
Yeah, and just on a dare,
you
got
to be purebred to do that.
My wife is hardcore. Yeah. And so, and we have 4 children, actually. Yeah. And she's given birth all natural to all 4 of them, especially twins. She did all natural birth with twins. And so my wife is amazing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we in 2005, we moved from Orlando, Florida to Grand Rapids, Michigan. So that was, if you can just think about the climate change and the idealism that I'm an idealist. And so we moved up there and actually to be a part of Mars Hill Bible Church and sit under some of Rob Bell's stuff. And as much as I love Rob, you know, we obviously would have some theological differences now. But we moved up there. It was really hard, and I couldn't find a job, and I was, again, really depressed and discouraged, and what am I doing with my life? And I 6 months into it, I actually finally enrolled in seminary and started the path. And at that same time, Mars Hill was actually starting to ask questions similar to what the chapel is asking. What does it look like for a white megachurch to align themselves with God of the Oppressed theology? Rob and a guy named Don Golden were talking through God of the Oppressed, right? If you read the scriptures, you always see that God always sides with those on the margins. And I spent a lot of time in the Exodus narrative, right? God hears the cry of the oppressed. And one of the series, where they invited an African-American pastor, Marvin Williams, from the University of Grand Rapids to come in and speak. And Marvin spoke in Isaiah 58 of loosening the chains of injustice and talked about race and talked about Jim Crow and talked about all these experiences he has had as a black man in America. And I'm like, all right, let's do this. Sign me up. We're moving in. Let's go. Let's move into the neighborhood. And I very clearly hear from the Spirit say, no, just calm down. Like, inform yourself, right? That's a lot of the heart of the curriculum that I do of Dignity Serves, right? One of our key things is passion without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? Like, it's good to have passion for those on the margins, but if it's not accompanied with knowledge, with cultural intelligence, with understanding your whiteness and mm-hmm. understanding colonialism and how that factors into all these things, like, you are going to gentrify the area and you're going to do things that are really damaging to the poor. So I actually in seminary changed my degree to Master's of Intercultural Ministries. A good friend of mine, Nate Ledbetter, introduced me to Christian Community Development Association, CCDA, John Perkins, Wayne Gordon, Bob Lupton, all those guys, started reading all those resources. Mm-hmm. A friend and mentor and pastor in Grand Rapids, Reggie Smith, started, he's an African-American pastor, started to kind of mentor me on a weekly basis. And so I started asking all sorts of questions, and he's like, and, you know, listening to you, he's like, you have a merging of black and white. Like, you can see that. And I was really drawn to the Ephesians 2 text where Paul talks about the reconciliation, right, the new humanity that was being birthed out of the Jews and the Gentiles. And so in 2008, my wife and I, while we're still in seminary, went and interned with FCS, Urban Ministries, Bob Lupton's ministry, down in Atlanta. And one of the part of CCDA, which is Christian Community Development Association. One of they have three main R's that they focus on is relocation, reconciliation, and redistribution, right? So the whole idea is you relocate to a low-income neighborhood. And so the idea there is based upon John 1:14, the Message translation mm-hmm. says that the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, right? And so whole idea of relocating. You can only truly know what's going on in the neighborhood if you relocate. And once you're part of people's lives, you see things differently. So you relocate, and then you focus on reconciliation of people to God and people to each other, and then you redistribute the goods in the neighborhood, the assets in the community and outside the community. And so that's part of the philosophy. And so in 2008, my wife and I lived for a month in Atlanta, fell in love with the idea of moving there. And we went back and graduated from seminary, and we were invited to move into the neighborhood. It would just mean three things. Move there, right? Work at a church, a small church that was just kind of starting up, and then raise your own support. And this is crazy. Like, only crazy people do that. And so we actually didn't move at that point. We moved back to Orlando just to be with my wife's family. And when we moved back there, a month after we moved back, I met a guy named Phil Hissom that had just graduated from Reformed Theological Seminary and had started a thing called the Polis Project, and Polis, the Greek word for city. And while Phil was at Reformed Theological Seminary, he did a three-year-long research project asking basically what's being done in Orlando to address human need. And so he, for 3 years, him and a group of students did this research project, and what they discovered was the way churches and ministries were helping the poor was breeding dependency and self-sufficiency. So a lot of the resources that have been written are that address that is like When Helping Hurts and Toxic Charity. Mm-hmm. And so Phil, you know, dependency, the fact that you continue to give handouts to people in need, you build dependent relationships, right? And then self-sufficiency, this idea that people are poor because their lack of merit, because of their behavior, right? If you just change your mindset, you would not be poor anymore. And so you're not really taking into consideration institutional racism or generational poverty. And so that was the problem. And that was the thing that he's like, okay, this is what's the perpetuating the problem, right? And then they discovered this concept called asset-based community development, ABCD for short, right? Mm-hmm. Let's simply start with the assets in the community. Let's find the key indigenous leaders and what do they want for their community, and let's get behind their ideas. That model did not exist in Orlando at all. Everything was very much the self-sufficiency and dependency model. And Phil, in 2009, started Polis and also wrote a product called Dignity Serves, mm-hmm. Which is the training that I do with churches to really help churches move away from that relief and dependency, which is basically service projects, right? You go mm-hmm. in and do your thing, to more of this long-term ABCD model based upon, and this is the key thing, this is what I'll keep mentioning, based upon dignified, interdependent relationships, right? Mm-hmm. I need you, you need me. This is not about me fixing and solving you. This is about us entering into a relationship based upon the gospel, right? Based mm-hmm. upon the Spirit leading us together. where we were in relationship, and I can see the dignity in you. You can see the dignity in me. This is not about me trying to solve and fix you, but let's learn together, right? And so, I started to intern and work with Polis because I loved this idea, and for me, I had just moved down there, and
Yeah, you have about 40 seconds left.
Okay. Well, we'll...
We have plenty of time.
No, okay. I just moved to Orlando, just started working for Polis, and there's an adage that a white guy with a master's degree that thinks he knows it all, that was me. And my posture with the poor, especially the homeless, was, well, if you just listen to me, let me counsel you, you'll stop being poor, right? Mm. Very patriarchal, very condescending, but to be honest with you, rooted in a lot of my codependency, rooted in a lot of my fault self that I wanted to fix them so I could feel better about myself, right? And
that
so,
makes sense.
Yeah.
We're going to pick up where we left off there, and there's a lot to digest and a lot of directions we could go. We could probably spend 5 hours here, but we're not going to do that to you. Just hang with us. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Christ Together Radio here on WDCX.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard, or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Hopefully you are staying with us and you've heard a little bit of the story of Dan Crane from Atlanta and how God has used him and is using him in cross-cultural ministry and just working with people who are in the margins. I love how Dan points that out. And it seems to be a common thread here on Christ Together Radio that the Lord seems to really work when people get out of their comfort zone and begin to work with those who maybe aren't really like them. And it's just really cool to see, Ryan,
yeah,
how God's worked in Dan's life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that we're kind of leaving off in the story. We'll pick this up here in just a few minutes. So, you know, God has raised up a country guy from Bumfield, PA, mm-hmm. and ultimately takes Dan after seminary, takes him to back to Orlando, where he's connected with the Polis Institute, which we're going to pick that up in just a second. But one of the things that happens in a radio show is, sometimes off air, like you get good radio, and
yeah,
so
right.
There's a great story, and part of it is like we want our audience to understand, like, the people we're interviewing, these are human beings, this is interpersonal. And Dan, you were sharing a really interesting story about when God began to even first awaken you to just your desire,
yeah,
to see diversity of relationships happen, like just having the heart for diversity that you have. Just tell us that story. That was kind of an interesting story.
So growing up in Bumpville, we had a basketball court in the top of our haymow called the Crane Dome. It's still in existence there now. And the school, I went to high school in Russ Corners Christian Academy in Vestal, outside of Binghamton. We would host basketball tournaments, and we'd have teams come from Newark and from New York City. And we'd host, some of the guys would stay at our house. And so a couple times, two African-American brothers came and stayed at our house, and I got the chance to take them up to the Crane Dome and show them what the Crane Dome was about. And also, you know, take them to the bottom of the barn and show them cows and see what cows do. And just,
they don't do much, do they?
They don't do much except eat and poop.
And make you work.
And so, but just that cross-cultural racial connection, like God was doing something in me, just being with people that were different, had a different perspective than me, I think something came alive. And so I just, God had been really kind of birthing this idea in me for a long time. And so, of course, I'm a white farm boy from Bumfield, PA, and I live in Atlanta, Georgia. And one of my brothers down there, Malcolm Coxell, he's like, it's the black Mecca of the U.S. Like, what happened there?
Yeah.
And so, but going back to Orlando, I started interning with Polis, and I remember the first time that I began to put these principles of dignity serves, of dignified interdependence to play in my life. I was sitting with a homeless man, and I just got done leading a Bible study. And we were just, you know, kicking it. And I said, hey, man, could you pray for me? He looked at me with eyes like wide open, his mouth dropped open. And he's like, well, yeah, of course I can. He's like, but you just got done leading the Bible study. And I'm like, yeah, but I've got a lot going on in my life. And he took out his notepad, wrote down my prayer request, and then 2 weeks later, he's like, we ran into each other again. He's like, hey, man, I've been praying for you. I'm like, oh, really? And that was the first time that I'm like, this idea of giving and receiving, of honoring the dignity of people, like, made sense. Mm. And so I started putting the principles to practice in the homeless ministry I was a part of called
what
Compassion
made you, let
Corner.
Let me ask you a question real quick, interrupt you. What made you, what sparked in your mind that I'm going to ask this guy to pray for me?
Dignity serves. Dignity serves.
So it was intentional?
It's intentional. Yeah. It's a learned thing, right? Mm-hmm. And like that's the one of the curses of working with those on the margins is you think you're the hero. Mm-hmm. And dignity serves is a rereading of the parable of the Good Samaritan. And what Jesus is really trying to say to the Jewish audience is you are actually the one laying in the ditch. You are the one in need of help. I'm the good Samaritan. Mm-hmm. I'm the hero. And mm-hmm. Phil Hissom, who wrote Dignity Serves, writes a blog about how the church has become charity has become toxic, picking up on the Bob Lupton language, right? Like, and he's like, the church is never meant to be the hero here. Jesus is always the hero, right? And so the heart of Dignity Serves is, what has you half dead right now? That's when we do the study, that's what we start, that's the question we start with right now.
Yeah. You know, this is really interesting because this is when I think about, and I'm so thankful, I feel like the Lord has really helped us within the region to begin to develop some very meaningful and some very deep relationships across contexts. But at the same time, when I hear about Dignity Serves, when I think about the idea of dignified interdependence of relationships, the idea that especially if you're a suburban church and maybe you have a heart or you have a desire to do something in an urban realm, to just understand, it's so important to understand that if you come in as the great hope or the hero who's going to fix everything, in many respects, you do damage to those friendships, you do damage to those relationships. But yet, if you'll walk with an understanding that I need you and you need me, it really does begin to change. Yeah. And it gives you, in my mind, my experience has been, and I feel incredibly blessed that God has put relationships in my life. You know, Andre Clark and his brother Vincent and Jason Drayton and Pastor Jeff Carter and the pastors Gillison, you know, the father and Dwayne. Like, God has put relationships in my life, and as He has helped me to understand that, like, I need these people.
Yeah,
I need these brothers and sisters in the faith, and they do need me, but. But in some ways, like, I realize I need them more than in some ways they need me. And yet I went in with this idea that, but I've got some great ideas. And the Lord just humbles you.
But this is why the Christian narrative is so important, right? Like, what's the goal? The goal is Revelation 7, right? Where every tribe, every tongue is around the throne worshiping Christ. If that's the goal, right? And Jesus is because of his death and burial and resurrection, we're called to live into that reality now. The question becomes how, what intentional decisions am I doing? Because, again, I like white people and I like white Anglo theology, but it's incomplete, right? Like, I can honestly say I'm a better person because I've learned from African-American brothers and sisters that have mentored me, that have challenged me, that have given me a different perspective of looking at Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And realizing Jesus is not a white guy. But yet you grow up in Bumfield, PA, thinking in one terms, and again, I'm not here to bash white theology, but it's incomplete, right? If we don't take in consideration, you know, people that are Asian American and all these different influences of theology. And so, I can honestly say, you know, I'm a better person because I've learned and I've discovered a different element of faith. And so I spent 2 years in Orlando, realized I don't like Orlando. Ryan and I share
we have a common dislike, for Orlando. We love people in Orlando. Yeah. It's just
it's nice
don't
to
want to live there.
Sorry, Mike and Brenda.
Sorry, not sorry.
That's my in-laws. But, so we moved to Atlanta, and 2011 I moved to work with this church and also to be a representative of POLIS, of Dignity Serves. And the heart of Dignity Serves is rethinking the way you serve people in need, right? And so I'm not going to teach something that I'm not living. And so I immerse myself in this neighborhood, and over the course of 6 years, I've done a lot of work with young men in the community. And so a lot of the times what I've done is I take a lot of these guys with me to do Dignity Serves. And so if you can imagine the dynamics of that, right, you go to these majority white churches, and I'm taking with me a good friend of mine, Malcolm, he's African-American, grew up in the neighborhood, and we're sitting around in this Dignity Serve study, and we're talking about race, and we're talking about poverty. And we're like, well, let's hear from this young man. And he's not my token black friend by any means, but like I invited him, and the more he talked, right, the more it made sense, right? Because we can sit here and talk about race and poverty, but we come from a very white middle class perspective. Like, and one of the things I learned at Polis in my time with Polis is you always amplify the voice of those on the margins. Amplify means to make louder, right? The whole asset-based concept is you listen to the community, right? Through dignified interdependent relationships, right? It's so easy for us with the education, with the degrees, to walk in and be like, all right, this is what we're going to do. This is, you know, and believe me, and part of what I've been doing in the past 2 years, where Jesus has led me now, is to deal with the spiritual formation aspect of serving. And what I mean by that is I did a presentation for Desire Street Ministries back in March. It's the ministry that Danny Warfel and Dr. Anthony Gordon lead together. And they have these thriving leaders meetings where they invite speakers to come in and share about best practices in urban ministry. And then by the grace of God, I was invited to speak on the underbelly of service and really a lot of my own burnout as to why I did what I did, and a lot of sharing a lot of embarrassing stories. And because I wanted to be the hero in the relationship. Well, I wanted to be the hero because I was really struggling with codependency, and I wanted these guys to like me, right? So I did all sorts of stupid, crazy things. Well, because the reality is because my family of origin, going back to Bumpville, family of five boys, I was the goof off, and I never did well in school. I was always a failure. I always was lazy. I never got up at 8 a.m. to make it out to the barn. And so I grew up with this message that I'm a failure, right? Mm-hmm. But then I played basketball. And played soccer, and I beat Canberra Performance, and I'm like, if I can make a three-pointer, like, this feels really, really good. So I became a performer, and then I spent time at Liberty and at First Baptist Woodstock and all these places that, in many ways, again, I love these places, but they worship success, right? Yeah. And so youth pastor, message I received when I took a youth group from 15 to 80.
Like, whoa.
I'm a success. But what happened when the youth group went from 80 to 70 to 60 to 50? Guess who got really depressed and discouraged? Me. Because I realized my performance was rooted in, or my identity was rooted in performance, right? Yeah. And so that's when God, for 6 years, took me on this journey, right? Of like, you have to deal with this. You have to look at who you are in Christ and the fact that you are not what you do, right?
Right.
And so
let's do this. Let's close off this segment. We got about 3 minutes left, but we were gathering last night. Dan and I were just catching up on life, and you shared something real quick about just how there are times where you wanted to be the hero, and it caused you to just do stupid things. Share the story of teaching the kid to drive.
So when I did this presentation for Desire Street, I'm like, I'm going to share a story that is pretty vulnerable. And the story was that there was this young kid that was my next-door neighbor, and I wanted to be his hero. And Malcolm and I started a ministry for him, basically. Mm. And he's 13, and a few years ago he was 13, and I wanted him to drive my car, and he asked to drive my car, and so he backed out of my driveway, and 13. did well there, and then put it in drive, and ran right into the back of my neighbor's car, and smashed, and my neighbor came out, and he was mad, and I had to put forth a lot of money so that this kid wouldn't receive punishment, and I called my dad, and I said, guess what I've done, and told him. He's like, I've done the same thing. And for me, I'm a very much I really love guys like Henry Nouwen and Parker Palmer, very much about the interior world. And so I do journal a lot. I spend a lot of time in solitude. Why am I doing this? What led me to do this? And so that started this whole I'm a big fan of Pete Scazzaro and the emotionally healthy spirituality stuff. That is very much slow your life down to be with God, right? Understand why do you do what you did. And so hours and pages of journal, and I'm like, because I wanted to be the hero here. That's why I wanted to save this young man. And my efforts to save him did not work because I wanted to be the hero. And he's, you know, unfortunately, he's been sitting in juvenile detention center since December, and it's hard, right? That's the reality of sometimes the work we do is, it's the systems sometimes win, and a lot of the times they win.
Yeah. So we're going to come back for our final segment for today. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy here. We're interviewing Dan Crane, a good friend of mine, personal friend, doing ministry in South Atlanta with Remerge. When we come back, we're going to talk about Dignity Serves. Specifically, I know that there's six lessons within Dignity Serves. So let's take our last segment of this of today, and let's do that. Let's understand what those are. And then next week, Dan has agreed to join us for another hour of radio, and we're going to unpack some more of the philosophical stuff associated with Remerge and with Dignity Serves. So stick together, or stick together.
Well, do that
and
too.
Stick around for both. Christ Together Radio.
Awesome. This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brent Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brent Larson, and Ryan Cozy also hosting today as we host every week here on Christ Together Radio. Check us out online, WDCXradio.com. Click on Programs and Christ Together Radio. Listen to past broadcasts and episodes, and catch up on what God is doing throughout Western New York and really all around the world, as we interview different people who are what we call on mission or involved in God's mission, and that is the gospel. And that shows up, and it looks on the outside a lot different mm-hmm. in many occasions, but the message is still the same. And today joining us in studio is Dan Crane. And Dan was sharing us about, the interdependency and of just giving people dignity, that everybody has something to give and something to share, and that when we go into situations and we kind of act like the hero and we got it all together, and you need what I have, mm-hmm. and you need to do it my way.
Specifically, the suburban into the urban.
Into the urban, yeah. Exactly. It doesn't play well, and in fact, it's arrogant and it's prideful and many times counterproductive to the gospel, which is what we're supposed to be about. Yeah. And so, Dan, you were just sharing a story or began to share a story of what this looks like in practicality, yeah. and maybe it'll give our listeners a better understanding of the value that every single person has.
Yeah. So the heart of Dignity Serves is that everyone bears the image of God, and because of that, everyone has something to give. Everyone has an asset. Everyone brings something to the table. And the past few months has been a real challenge for our family. My mom actually passed away June 8th, and in the beginning of the progression where she kind of went down, the first weekend that it happened, the first time my mom went into the hospital, I went on a run just to kind of get away, and as I was running, I felt like God was saying, go see your friend Larry. And my friend Larry is a homeless friend that I've gotten to know over the past 5 years that lives in my community, stays behind the Napa Auto Parts store. And
don't give the street out.
Don't give the street away. But Larry's in the process of reuniting with his family, and it's been really cool to see how living out reconciliation with him, encouraging him along the way, and him encouraging me works. And I went on this run, and I went and found Larry, and I told Larry what was happening, and I told him that my mom had just gone into the hospital, had a stroke, and if you can imagine Larry and his friends, I was in their many ways their bedroom, sitting on this concrete ledge behind Napa Auto Parts in my neighborhood, and I'm weeping. And Larry and his friends laid their hands on me and just prayed over me. And it just was such a beautiful moment of being comforted, right? From people that actually live in the valley of the shadow of death. Like, people on the margins, actually, they live there. And so, like, man, if they can make it, I can make it. They've lost people left and right, right? They've experienced so much crisis in their lives. And so just experience God's grace through that. And of course, over the past few months, we've experienced, grace through a lot of the community around us and the love. But there was just something special. There was something significant about being comforted by someone that is literally living on the streets. And Larry, the first thing he said to me, and I'll never forget this, is like, you know what, Dan, we have going for you is your mom's a Christian. She's saved. And this dude, Larry, walks with Christ.
Yeah.
And it looks different than you and I, right? Mm-hmm. He may not be in church every Sunday, but he knows Christ. And so, that's a fresh experience, and we're grieving. So.
And you were saying, too, sometimes, like, one of the things that gives you perspective is you start to realize that not only do these people know Jesus,
Yeah.
They actually, because of the hope that they have in Jesus, because they have nothing else,
yeah.
in many ways, they know Jesus at a deeper level than yeah. than what you do.
Yeah.
And that just gives you great perspective, great mm-hmm. great appreciation for the fact that, and it reemphasizes what you're talking about within Dignity Serves, that I need you.
See,
and
that's,
you need me.
Yeah, I've been toying with this idea of everyone's trying to solve the issue of homelessness, right? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe the homeless are a gift to us, right? To really call out how we've worshipped self-sufficiency, right? Mm-hmm. And we've worshipped the American dream. Mm-hmm. And not that we don't need to deal with the homeless issues. I'm not saying we don't need to do anything, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, people need houses. They need correct food. But this whole idea of dignified interdependence, how am I learning, right? How am I learning from this person that's living on the margins of society? And how does that, the spiritual formation of serving, how does that call me out of my own comfort and my own, you know? And this is the whole struggle we have with American Christianity, right? Like, you know, it's just like we don't realize how much the American culture has absorbed our walk with Christ
right.
and our worship of comfort and
sure,
our worship of
it.
Control. We live in it. We're not even aware of it.
Yeah. That's good. Now, I know you said, you know, and we're going to have you back next week, which we're really excited about to kind of unpack at a deeper level. But so someone's listening right now and they're going, man, I'm interested in this. But you keep mentioning Dignity Serves.
Yeah.
And I know that there's 6 sessions that are mm-hmm. related to Dignity Serves. I think we got about maybe 8 or 9 minutes left
yeah.
in the segment. What are those 6 sessions?
Yeah. So
what does that involve?
I work for Remerge, and so mm-hmm. Remerge is a sponsor of Dignity Serves, and there's a contractual agreement between Polis and Remerge to sell Dignity Serves the product. And if you want to look at Remerge, there's remerge.org, and basically we live out the principles of Dietrich Bonhoeffer in Christ theology, and we apply those to poverty and homelessness. So people ask us, well, what do I do here? Well, our solution is live out reconciliation. Create communities of reconciliation where you're simply being a family together, right, with people on the margins. And from there, right, do whatever the Spirit leads you to do. If that's community development, great. If it's jobs, great. If it's whatever, food pantry, whatever it needs to do. But our first place is live out reconciliation, right, and create communities where you weekly show up, or even sometimes if you're radical, you show up 5 or 6 times a week and just share life with those on the margins. And the Spirit's going to lead in whatever it is. But Dignity Serves. Again, it was written really to help churches move from the service-based project that was breeding relief and self-sufficiency and dependency to more of the asset-based concept. And Phil wrote this back in 2009. It's basically a discipleship curriculum on learning to serve people in need well, right, based on the book of Philippians, because Paul talks about in Philippians 4, verse 15, he talks about this church in Philippi is the only one that's centered in the matter of giving and receiving. And that's where Phil coined this phrase called dignified interdependence, right? I need you, you need me. And so in the introduction, we talk about the rereading of the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? This is not about you going and helping somebody laying in the ditch. In fact, you are actually the one laying in the ditch, and you need help. And Jesus is the Good Samaritan, right? What in this wrestling with this question of what has you half dead right now? Like mm-hmm. for people, that's that statement alone is like, I don't want to talk about my needs. I don't mm-hmm. want to talk about my junk. I want to hear and
help. I look weak.
Yeah, I'm mm-hmm. here to help and solve and fix people, right? Right, and that's yeah. why I'm here. And so introduction gets into that. Lesson 1 deals with the fact of dignity, the fact that everyone's born in the image of God, and everyone bears the image of God, and Jesus is our source and standard based upon Philippians 2, right? Jesus, the Christ Him. Christ has gone above us, and He's gone below us, and so we unpack what that means. Lesson 2 dives into the realization of assets, that everyone has something to give, right? In learning this question, can you help me? Like, that question alone is revolutionary for people to be like, hey, I need you to help me here. And like, that's why I asked that my homeless friend in Orlando, can you help me here?
Yeah.
Right. Like,
right.
And so Philippians 2 talks about the fact that everyone don't look out for your own interests, but the interests of other people. Right. Lesson 3 deals with the relevance of place, the fact that God actually calls us to be a neighbor. Right. Well, of course, church, what's the great commandment? Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And the challenge to churches is you've got a lot of discipleship curriculum around being loving God. Mm-hmm. Where's your discipleship curriculum on being a neighbor, right? Mm-hmm. On learning to be a neighbor, right? And that's where, you know, Dignity Serves, all these other resources that are out there, you know, even the Art of Neighboring guys out in Denver, yeah. Colorado, like they great resources, right? Like, mm-hmm. hello, church. Jesus says, love God, love your neighbor as yourself.
at Liberty, I don't remember a class on being a neighbor. Mm-hmm. Like, the, but we, you know, there's many layers. We can get into that in philosophy next session. But the lesson three, that's what it deals with. This idea of being present in one place. We do an exercise called the hopes and concerns exercise. List out the hopes and concerns in people in your life, and are you listening to them? Right. Lesson four actually begins to deal into institutional racism and the power of structures and how structures are actually keeping people down, which is a really hard thing for American white, especially white American evangelicals, to realize. Like, there are actual structures that hold people down. And so we get into...
That might be the hardest thing, I think, for many just regular, everyday, suburbanite people going to work every day thinking, like, you've got free education. You've got what's the big deal? That is the if just looking from the outside in and being from that world, like, that is the number one hurdle.
Yeah,
that suburban Anglo,
yeah,
you know, middle class, upper middle class people look at.
Yeah, right. It is, and it's funny. I just went through a training that was sponsored by the Kellogg Foundation and the Community Foundation of Greater Buffalo. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that they helped us to understand within this, because I do believe, Dan, with what he said, like, there are structures in place, and they talk about the history of the FHA loan. And, you know, there was $102 billion that was invested in housing for GIs who came back from from the war, and like over
World War II.
Yeah, World War II. Yeah. Over 99% of Anglo soldiers qualified and were approved, and less than 2% of the $102 billion that went to home lending went to non-Anglo soldiers. Yeah. And what that did was, what it created was a suburban America that was predominantly white. And you know, the reality is, like, I think it is hard for people to understand that. But once you realize, like, oh my gosh, that happened. And you can talk about malice or intentionality behind it. Like, I get that. But the reality is, there are structures that exist. And when you begin to say, okay, well, let me humble myself and hear them out. Let me just try to understand what that looks like. I really believe that the Lord begins to unlock something. He begins to open your eyes to something deeper and profound, kingdom. You know, and I know that's I don't want to cut off the remaining two segments, but
no, I think it's important, though, Ryan, for people to understand, because, you know, as you hear these conversations going on, you're getting thoughts, and if they're not getting answered, you're writing off the rest of the conversation.
Don't tune out. That's huge. I mean, that's huge. And that's a tough one, but I know there's two other segments, so let's hit on those.
In 2 minutes.
Lesson four deals with the power of structures, getting into institutional racism. Lesson five deals with the impact of commitment, that this is really God's world. And so we'll get into the next lesson, just like, what do I do with this stuff? How do I even make a difference? Well, our recommend is go pray. Rest and be with God. It's his mission. He's Philippians 1 talks about, he who began a good work and you will complete it. It's just not
like
up to us.
Just like everything else. Stop owning it.
Stop owning it. And it's God's mission. Yeah. God longs for reconciliation more than we do. And so then lesson six deals with this principle that people are more important than change, right? Let's just sit with that. People are more important than change. What happens if you love somebody and they don't change? Are you going to continue to love them? Well, what's the gospel? Does God love us so that we change? No, he simply loves us. And the invitation is always there. And so part of that, in many ways, Dignity Serves, I'll be honest with you, really deals and messes with our codependency and realizes why do we do what we do. And it really breeds a lot of stuff that we need to repent of. And so
That's Dan Crane. And Dan's from Atlanta. And if you haven't heard the earlier parts of the broadcast and you're just tuning in now, go back and go to wdcxradio.com, click on programs, and go to Christ Together Radio. Go back and listen to the previous minutes that we spent here with Dan and from Dignity Serves. And what's your website, Dan? Dan's showing it to
DignityServes.org.
That's a really difficult website, DignityServes.org. It's the organization and it's the website.
And Remerge.org.
Those are Dan's websites. Dan's going to join us next week because, as you can tell, we have more to talk about. And this goes so many layers deep that I think we could spend the next 10 weeks dealing with this. But Dan's only here for the next 2 weeks. So tune in next week, 9 a.m. on Saturdays, 12 p.m. on Sundays. Ryan, any thoughts? You have 10 seconds.
See y'all next week.
That's a good thought. We'll see y'all next week right here on Christ Together Radio.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.